Welcome to the Liberty Beacon Special, and I am your host, Roger Landry, the founder of the Liberty Beacon Project, and as everybody is aware, because I say this same stuff every time we do a special, these are not scheduled shows. These shows are done when we have a guest with what we feel is a very important message that needs to get out, and we don't want to tie this to scheduling. So today is no exception, and again, I'm going to bring in, as my co-host on this show, Ariana Love. And Ariana is an American living in Finland, and she is the senior editor of our soon-to-be-published website, The Middle East Rising, as well as a talk show host on the Liberty Beacon Radio Network. How are you today, Ariana?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, Roger.
Well, would you do me a favor and introduce our special guest, because you've had a lot of conversations with this gentleman, and I'm very, very interested to get into this conversation.
Yeah. Ryan Dawson is an author and a geopolitical analyst, as well as a human rights activist, also a YouTuber, and made a documentary called 9/11 War by Deception. Ryan is going to speak before the U.S. House of Representatives in April in Washington, D.C., and he's going to plead a case of Israel's direct involvement in the orchestrated events of 9/11. So, Ryan, thank you for being with us, and I just can't wait to hear from you.
Well, I appreciate it. Every opportunity I have to tell the message is great.
The reason I'm so excited about this information is because, When I saw your documentary just recently, Ryan, I was really thrilled, because there's not a lot of people are aware that Israel was involved in 9/11. And when I became an activist for Palestinian human rights, it was through my investigating into researching into 9/11. And it was about 5 months into research where I discovered Israel's involvement in 9/11, but it has been whitewashed by our media. And it's not easy to find that information. So you have done a lot of research and very thorough. And so please tell us why you think that this is going to make an impact.
Yeah, sure. And I share your passion, too. Of course, I was researching 9/11, and people have to really not forget that 9/11 was associated to the war in Iraq, and there never would have been a war in Iraq had they not lied about 9/11 and associated Saddam Hussein and Iraqi senior officials to the anthrax attack, which is another portion of 9/11 that's often forgotten. And what we have here are several different factions where there seem to be three sort of camps about 9/11. Well, four if you include the official story. There's a large group, what I call the 9/11 kook movement, that just talk about nonsense all day long, or paths to nowhere. They over-focus on the building collapses, and that's all. But to quote Richard Gage, as he said, listen, I'm the science guy. If you want to know who, what, when, where, and why, talk to Ryan. And that's why I made my documentary, to explain why there was a 9/11, who did it, how they did it, and what was used to get that started. And what a lot of people don't know, unfortunately, because the internet is just inundated with nonsense about Rothschild's Illuminati and things about 9/11, is that our own intelligence committees from the Senate and House did a joint inquiry into 9/11. They did an investigation completely separate from the 9/11 Commission, which was a total whitewash. And they did uncover that the 19 hijackers had operational and financial support from foreign governments, plural.
U.S. allies as well.
U.S. allies as well, which is why that information has been redacted. Now, it is
28
available.
Pages, isn't it? 28 yes. Pages. And if a senator or a congressman wishes to see it, they must go into a room. They're not allowed to have any cameras, any recording devices, any pencil or paper. They can look through it. Then they must go out. And the information never leaves that room. And
a soundproof room.
Right. So how many more hoops do you need to jump through to isolate the American people?
They don't want the public to know this. And what's really sad is most of the congressmen, although they could apply to read this, haven't done so. One was rejected Dyson from Florida, but that's because the chair of the Intelligence Committee at the time had personal issues with him over the NSA and other issues. However, we have a new chair of the Intelligence Committee as of January. Mike Bishop was replaced by Mike Rogers. And so we really have a chance now to get this read. And we also have a bill in Congress authored by Walter Jones from North Carolina and co-sponsored by Thomas Massie, and a lot of other co-sponsors have signed on since then. They've read the bill, and I found it very interesting that last summer when Israel was slaughtering Gaza again, that there was this vote about Iron Dome, which is this bogus missile defense shield that's as bogus as the Patriot missiles of the first Gulf War. But it was just an excuse to give more hundreds of millions of dollars to Israel.
Ryan, let me jump in here for a second, because in my past life, before I started doing this, I worked for Raytheon, who manufactures the Patriot missile. And what I know of the Patriot missile and its efficacy would make most people cry, because their tax dollars paid for this farce.
Well, then you and I agree on that. And I would say that the Iron Dome is as bad as the Patriot missile, although if you were watching TV in the early 90s, they acted like it was the best thing ever and intercepted Scuds in the middle of the air, and it was just nonsense.
They actually showed interceptions. But, the Patriot missile wasn't totally ineffective. It just wasn't effective enough.
Right. Well, the Iron Dome, if you look at the kill counts prior to having it and afterward, they're the same. About 3 Israelis die in every conflict. So the Iron Dome really didn't offer any extra protection, but it did utilize a lot of money and made a lot of people wealthy. Well, the Senate voted 100-0, of course, to give money to Israel. I mean, I call it the Knesset 2.0. But in the House, people voted
APAC.
Against it. Well, yeah, well, it is. It's AIPAC.
Yes. Influence from AIPAC, and I apologize for interjecting, my friend. Please go on.
Well, that's the other thing that's going on, and I'll get to that. But there are 8 members of Congress who voted against it. All from the House. 7 of them had read the 28 pages, 7 of the 8. And all 7 who had read it voted against giving aid to Israel or the Iron Dome in the middle of that conflict. Now, you could say that's for moral reasons for Palestinians, but they had never voted that way in the past. But I think after realizing whatever they saw in the 28, they didn't want to send money to Israel. Now, talking about AIPAC, while I am in D.C., the anti-AIPAC as well as the pro-AIPAC conferences will be going on. Airmap from Grant Smith will be there with Justin Raimondo, Scott Horton, Allison Weir, all the hard hitters for the Israeli issue for the anti-APEC conference. And myself and Hannah McCoy are going to be covering that and attending that meeting as well. Coincidentally happened to be while I was going to lobby about the 28. But there's a bill. The bill is very easy to remember because the number is 428, as in for the 28, 428.
I had a big old Ford LTD with a 428 engine in it, and I got to tell you something. There was a lot of power behind that. Hopefully that translates over to this bill.
Well, we keep getting more and more co-sponsors, and my idea is first to hit up all the New York offices because it happened right in their yard with the World Trade Centers, and there's just no excuse in the world for them to not apply to read this. And then secondly, we're going to have to target the chairman of the committee so that we can make sure all these people who do apply get approved. So we really have to put the pressure on. And my idea is, while we're there lobbying, we can get the Liberty Beacon and other radio shows and all these listeners to call DC, to call these offices. You're probably going to just talk to legislative assistants, but still you need to hound on the same message that we want these 28 pages unredacted, and that at minimal, the Congress needs to read them. I mean, we could at least get them read. And I believe if they're read, they'll co-sponsor the bill. And if we have a majority of them co-sponsoring the bill, it'll pass, and then it'll be up to Obama.
Let me tell you how I I guarantee you, both Ariane and I will be on the front line getting whatever support we can for you during that. But let me explain to you something that just happened that might give you a smile as towards the probabilities and possibilities for that type of a media blitz. Okay. And this is a little off track, but you need to listen because you're going to smile when you hear the punchline here. We had a big corruption, a big scandal explode over the CDC and the fact that they hid information about the vaccine to autism link the CDC did for 14 years. And how many children have caught autism or been afflicted with autism that didn't have to be over those 14 years? Well, it was being ignored. The government was ignoring it. Everybody was ignoring it. This was something that should have been splashed across the mainstream media. Well, what happened was a media blitz was started via mechanisms such as, and the Liberty Beacon Project supported this as well, wrote about it, did shows about it. There were over a billion, I'm going to say that again, a billion tweets sent to the White House telling the president, we need to get this guy in front of Congress. Well, not too long ago, the president gave immunity to Dr. Thompson, the CD whistleblower, so that he could go in front of Congress and discuss what happened. So is there a possibility that we could get a billion people to tweet and say, we really want to see this happen? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you base the future on what has been possible in the past, Ryan, we can do this.
I think there's an even bigger movement behind
the
truth on 9/11 as well. I think it's very doable. And the fact is, we already have our foot in the door. We already have congressmen who've co-sponsored a bill to have these papers declassified. Now, right. The excuse is always, oh, it's national security. But everyone who's read it has said it really has nothing to do with national security. It's more about who we could trust and not trust, to quote one of them.
It has something to do with national security, just not our nation.
Right.
Or in state.
Right. Well, it's not going to reveal secrets for how we procure information or anything like that. This is more about who gave operational support to the hijackers. Now, within the same report, the report's over 400 pages. There's 28 that are redacted in a row. There's other portions all over it that are also redacted. But a lot of people are talking about Saudi Arabia left and right. However, the portions about Saudi Arabia are all over the report. They're not redacted. They already admit that Saudi Arabia or individuals from Saudi Arabia, from Bandar Bush to his wife to another woman, were giving money to Al-Mihdhar and Al-Hazmi, who were two of the 9/11 hijackers living in the West Coast. Al-Mihdhar was involved in the USS Cole bombing, got out on a prison break. He's on the no-fly list, and he lived openly with his real name. What's going on there is the U.S. has a look-away list for certain terrorists because everybody knows now we were using the Mujahideen and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan to fight the Soviet Union. We also used a number of terrorists in Kosovo.
Yes.
And these are the same individuals. And so when that red flag goes up and they say, oh, Al-Mihdhar, Al-Hazmi, these guys are in the U.S., they say, that's okay. There are guys. There are terrorists. And we did this with the Contras in Iran-Contra. Everybody knows now because there was a plane crash full of guns and drugs piloted by the CIA. But we were using the Contras to fight the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. And
yes.
People have to realize, people who shy from conspiracy, that was an event that involved multiple countries. You had a faction within Iran, a faction in Israel, and of course the Contras in Nicaragua, as well as the U.S., shipping all these guns, plus third-party guns from other countries around and using the profits to pay these mercenaries, essentially what the Contras were. 20,000 Nicaraguans were killed. That's a lot more than 3,000 on 9/11, and it happened over a number of years. So you have multiple countries, billions of dollars, tens of thousands of deaths, and it all happened in secret. Nobody knew until it all fell apart with the plane crashes that the U.S. was sponsoring this, where the weapons were coming from, how the money was being generated, or the drugs, or the connection to the Middle East, or anything. And a faction in the State Department pulled that off against the wishes of the CIA, the Joint Chief of Staff, and the interdepartmental group in the State Department. It was only
and
a
they
senior
tried,
group.
And they tried to pin it all on Oliver North.
Yeah. Well, he ends up running for president later. But Ollie North said one of the most pertinent statements in that trial when they asked why. He said, we wanted to create plausible deniability.
Yes. Yes. Now,
that deniability is a made-up word, but we know what he meant. You know, it's plausible that we could deny the operation. And that's how the CIA always works. However, this wasn't the CIA. This is the State Department in that case. But CIA always runs the drugs and has since the mid 60s when they took over the Bureau of Narcotics. But the same criminals involved in that, you're talking, who made the cell with kimchi? It was McFarlane and Paul Wolfowitz. And Paul Wolfowitz was the key architect later, as you know, for the second war in Iraq, well, both wars in Iraq, really.
Yes.
But more importantly, connecting Iraq to 9/11. Paul Wolfowitz and his sensei, what do we say, senpai, we say, was Richard Perle, who was also working in the Defense Department. Wolfowitz had moved to the Defense Department by now, too. He was no longer in the State Department. What they both said in different op-eds and different newspapers, one in the San Francisco Chronicle, another one in the Chicago Tribune, that the anthrax attack was connected to Iraq. They both said that there was a meeting in Prague and that the Iraqi senior officials, unnamed, passed anthrax to Mohammed Atta. Now, that information started from the Israeli security forces and then was peddled by James Woolsey and Gary Schmidt for Robert Kagan and William Kristol's Weekly Standard, who are both the founders of PNAC. And people have to remember, this continues to in Ukraine today. Victoria Nuland, infamous in the, I won't say the four-letter adjective she used, but what she said in the EU in Ukraine is Robert Kagan's wife. They're the ones who were peddling money through the National
Yes.
Endowment for Democracy to all these little supposed NGOs who are financing the mercenaries and neo-Nazis in Ukraine. And so really from Iran-Contra through 9/11 onto the conflict in Ukraine, it's the same people, the same war hawks. And you have to say why. Now, there are a lot of Zionists, but I think even broader than that, when you look at the seed money for PNAC and the Weekly Standard, the main media outfit for all this propaganda about Iraq, it came from Lockheed Martin. And Lockheed
Yes.
Martin is the number one defense contractor for the last 14 years in a row, followed by
Well,
Boeing
I'd
and
like to bring,
Raytheon.
no, not only do I agree with you, but I want to amplify something that you said, so that people understand just how deeply this goes. In 1997, there was a list of countries made up in the Middle East that we needed to invade and occupy. There was only one thing missing. The one thing missing was a catalyst, a reason for the invasion that they could sell to the American people. 9/11 was that catalyst. It was intended to be that catalyst. And from that, every single hostility we perpetrate within the Middle East has grown from that. But, we're talking about,
Well, let me point
4
something out too.
years.
What you say in
Go ahead.
1997 is also before the EU and before the euro. So
Yes.
before people start
Yes.
saying we went in for oil because the petrodollar, blah blah. No, we didn't.
No, we
We were
didn't.
in the Middle East because of Israel, and this all started way before any of that even
Greater
existed.
Israel.
Greater Israel,
Greater
exactly.
Israel. Absolutely. So what we need to let people know is that 4 years prior to the catalyst, which had been planned probably since 1999 on, that was in the planning. In 1997, the list of nations we needed to invade had been made up and solidified. And to date, just about everybody on that list has active hostilities within their sovereign borders.
It was in 98, and that's when Hanjour came first. The first 9/11 hijacker to enter the United States was in the 90s. And that's when the plan started. And it seemed like they wanted to do it sooner, and the only thing that prevented it was the weather.
Imagine that. Gee, you think maybe the Russians were using their weather control capabilities to keep us out?
No,
That
I just think
was
it
a
was kind
joke.
of, I
That
know,
was
I
a
know.
joke, right?
But yeah, you saw a lot of financial trade actions, a lot of screwball stuff there, and the DTCC doesn't want to allow anybody subpoenaed. And then you have mafia connected chiefs of police like Bernard Carrick, who ended up in jail for 10 years for fraud, claiming they found a passport of a hijacker that a guy dropped it off and disappeared. It's just a ridiculous narrative. But we know the Americans and the Israelis had Mohammed Atta's whole cell bugged and wired while they were in Hamburg, Germany. And he and his crew were in Hollywood, Florida. And the Mossad was living right next door to them.
Yes.
The entire time. So when you talk about who gave him operational support, the Israelis were living next door, right next door to the ringleader of the entire cell, who was the pilot for Flight 11 that hit the North Tower. And you're going to say they didn't know? And you combine that with the fact that the anthrax note said, death to Israel, death to America, death to Israel. And the fact that it was Israeli security forces saying they witnessed Iraq give anthrax to Al-Qaeda, to Muhammad Atta specifically, by the way. Iraq didn't have anthrax, Al-Qaeda didn't have anthrax, and there wasn't a meeting in Prague. It's pretty hard to witness something at a meeting that never took place between two factions that are passing around a substance that neither one possessed.
And this was weapons-grade anthrax.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have the capability of refining.
Well, it was stolen from U.S. labs.
Right. Yes.
And first they blamed Stephen Hatfield, and he won a 60 million pound settlement. And not 60, 6, yeah. And then they blamed Bruce Ivins, and he was suicided. And Perry Mixel, another doctor in the same, was suicided. But after the fact, they realized that Bruce Ivins couldn't have been in New Jersey and Florida so quickly and have been at work at the times when the anthrax letters were mailed. He also physically couldn't have made it based on his lab equipment and everything. He couldn't have done it either. But right before his trial, a week before he was supposed to speak, he died, overdosed on Tylenol. And that was the last we ever heard of the anthrax story, which is pathetic because figuring out that would lead right back to perpetrators in 9/11. Also interesting is Spike Bowman went and had the Ames strain anthrax destroyed in Ames, Iowa, when we're in the middle of an anthrax investigation and they're there destroying anthrax strains. That's very guilty.
Well, you've got to understand, and you do, I'm sure, but the audience needs to understand that a strain is just like a fingerprint. Okay. Right. No two strains are the same. Just like if somebody comes down with a disease after they've been given a vaccine, we can tell via the strain that infected the body whether it was the vaccine they actually caught, the live virus in the vaccine that actually infected them, or the wild or natural form of that virus. It's the same thing with the anthrax. So that just, if that doesn't make them look so damn guilty, I don't know what is.
Yeah, the whole AIM strain was destroyed. Now, it gets weaponized in Fort Detrick in Maryland. That's where that's where the institution is. And that's where Bruce Ivins worked. But interestingly, in the 90s, just a month prior to the 1993 World Trade Center attack, anthrax was stolen from Fort Detrick by someone else. And his name was Philip Zachariah. And he had a cohort named Dr. Rippey, who this guy already had been fired for harassing a coworker and being just a racist jerk. But there's footage of him with Dr. Rippey letting him in at night, re-entering the lab and working on anthrax. And then anthrax samples go missing. So they may have already had this plan even further back than 98, where there was an attack on the World Trade Center and there was anthrax stolen. However, they never mailed the anthrax because, as you know, the 93 World Trade Center attack was completely botched, as the FBI was recorded saying that they were going to give fake explosives and then have a sting. And then, of course, they provided the terrorists with actual explosives, and the sting never happened. The only thing that prevented the building from falling is the man driving the Ryder truck parked in the wrong place. Otherwise, that could have been a much bigger disaster back then as well. And this was right after the Gulf War, so they wanted to finish the job. Now, that was blamed on the Muslim Brotherhood. But really, there were no comparisons to the 93 World Trade Center bombing right after an attack on 9/11. You would think, well, the World Trade Centers were destroyed. Wouldn't the media make a comparison to the last time someone attacked the World Trade Center? Instead, all they talked about was Pearl Harbor from World War II. No one wanted to bring up the 93 bombing because it makes the FBI look ridiculous.
And what they were looking for was to whip up the American people into a froth to support the invasion of sovereign nations who had never perpetrated harm on this country.
Absolutely. And Egypt was on that list, and that might have been why they were having the MB.
Yeah, well, I remember all the way back to the Liberty. As a matter of fact, I just published an article on the USS Liberty. So I have, for a very long, long time, not considered Israel to be a friend of America. But when you have Israeli agents dancing around their van and on top of their van within sight of the Twin Towers falling, I mean,
They
you
were
know,
taking pictures. They took 72
right.
photographs and were flicking lighters like it was a rock
And what
concert.
about the explosives? What about the explosives in
Well,
the van?
absolutely. First of all, that van had traces of explosives, but they weren't just Israelis. They were Israelis who worked for the Mossad. They were two of them
Right.
were Paul Kutzberg and his brother,
That's why I
Sivan.
said Israeli
The
agents.
Israeli
Yes.
agents. Well, I mean, okay. Clearly. And then there was a separate van, same moving company, Urban Moving Systems, the front that Dominic Suter fled to Israel, and he's officially a suspect in 9/11 for the FBI. There was another bridge or another bomb packed van on the George Washington Bridge that also had a couple more Israelis arrested. All these guys had passports to fly to different countries. They had thousands of dollars stuffed in their socks. And they're celebrating the attacks, and they work for a foreign intelligence agency. And they were filming the first plane hitting, which
And that
proves.
van was full of explosives, wasn't it?
Right, that van, the second van, didn't just have traces of explosives, it was packed with explosives. And what happened was, this is what I think happened, because why did CBS and CNN and Fox and ABC all report this? Because they're usually so pro-Israel. What happened was, with the dancing Israelis and the George Washington Bridge crew, it had first been reported just as Middle Easterners. And so they assumed it's Arab Middle Eastern terrorist. Once, and actually David Letterman had Dan Rathers on his show that night. And I remember because Dan Rathers started crying on TV. He was trying to talk about it. And he was again talking about the people celebrating and the van packed with bombs. And he was still saying Middle Easterners. He didn't know yet that it was the Israelis. Dan Rathers got his start in media by lying about what he saw in the Zapruder film with JFK. But
Yes.
you brought up the Liberty. That ties into that too, because when Lyndon Johnson was sleeping with an Irgun terrorist, Matilda Krim, and used to helicopter her to the, I mean, they were neighbors and. He that's where he was. He was with her the night the 1967 war broke out, which is the war where the USS Liberty was attacked. Now, prior to that, Israel had already tried to start it with the Levant affair, and Britain and France actually joined Israel in attacking Egypt. But peace was brokered because Eisenhower was having none of it. Now, Eisenhower was surrounded by a bunch of crazies, but he had enough sense to know what was really going on. He knew it was based on a false flag. Pinchas Levant was. I originally should call it Benjamin Gavili because he was the mastermind, but it's called the Levant Affair because the defense minister was forced to resign. That was in a case, if the listeners don't know, where Israeli agents were bombing Western targets in Egypt. They were basically trying to hold on to the Suez Canal, and one of the bombers' bombs went off prematurely in his jacket, and so researching his apartment and everything, they found out that they were Israeli assets. So. That thing fell apart, but it took 6 years in trial. And Eisenhower put in 1967, there was another war anyway, even though the false flag was botched, they just went to war anyway. He put in UN peacekeepers for 10 years. So from 1957 until 1967, there were peacekeepers. Days after they were removed, Israel restarted the war, and that was the 1967 war. And a lot of people forget about the Levant affair. And the war in the 50s. They go right from 48 to 67, and they omit the war in the 50s because, like the 93 World Trade Center bombing, it's very embarrassing. They got caught in the false flag operation and they still started the war anyway.
Well, if you stop and think about just how much, and we have to expect since he was the president, he knew quite a bit, but just how much Eisenhower knew about the layers upon layers upon layers of tyranny that actually exist. When one of his parting shots was the speech about the influence of the military-industrial complex. And that speech to this day, every time I listen to it, still gives me the creeps.
He knew, and Kennedy inherited a lot of the crazies that were
Yes.
there, the Dulles brothers. Of course. Alan Dulles was involved in the Levant affair, and he was involved in Operation Ajax, as was his brother. And he and Kennedy hated each other. He lied to Kennedy about the Bay of Pigs. I mean, I don't want to open another can of worms with the Kennedy assassination, but these are the guys, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who came up with Operation Northwoods. These are the guys who wanted to nuke North Korea, nuke China. They're absolutely crazy. And Kennedy knew that. He said, these people have lost it. And,
Well, they went one step further than that. What they proposed to Kennedy was a false flag attack in Florida, whereby the United States covertly would bomb and kill a bunch of people, blame it on the Cubans, and give us a reason to go in with the full strength of U.S. military force.
yeah, that was one of the Northwoods plans, actually.
Northward, yes,
And
actually,
they did
yes.
worse than that, actually. The CIA hired Sam Giancana, the mafia boss of Chicago at the time, his underboss is Jimmy Hoffa, who Robert Kennedy was prosecuting, to have mafia hitmen take out Fidel Castro. And the mob, of course, had a strong alliance because they lost over $1 billion in revenue when Castro closed all the casinos. Mary Lansky had been appointed by Mary Lansky's one of the mobsters with Lucky Luciano in New York, and that crime syndicate with the Jewish Italian alliance, the Cosa Nostra. He had been appointed by Batista to run the gambling reform in Cuba. So he actually had a mobster on the payroll, and he even said, I'll match any investor that puts more than $1 million in a casino. So the mafia was mad for their own reasons when Castro came to power and kicked them out. They lost their money. And of course, the CIA was mad. So the CIA aligned with this killer. I mean, this was the hitman of hitmen. Sam Giancana was a bloodthirsty lunatic.
Yes. Yeah, he was a lunatic of the highest order. Yes.
Absolutely. And so they had that Cuba relations. And but every time they tried to kill Fidel, what they didn't realize is when the Florida boss, Traficante, had been thrown in prison because he was in Cuba when Castro came to power and he was arrested. And I believe Castro turned him. And the reason the mob and the CIA couldn't get him, they tried six different times, is because Traficante kept tipping him off. And that's why he was released. He was released out of jail with all his assets and all his money and around the turn to power. And then that guy's working with Marcello. But that's a whole nother topic with Kennedy. But very interesting stuff there. But the point is, there is a continuous trend of these individuals and these lunatics, these neocons, all the way from Eisenhower to today. And a lot of the people, I mean, Rumsfeld was there back then.
Yes.
And Henry Ford, like, and he retired
So was
finally.
Brzezinski.
Oh, of course, Kissinger. That's another one.
Yes,
Kissinger's
and
been involved in
Kissinger.
all of it. He's
Of
a he.
course.
He
He's
never
the
died.
granddaddy of all of this. Him and Brzezinski, I would say, and Schultz are probably, they've got their finger in this whole pie.
And Crystal and his father too. Yeah, they
Yes.
would be. They are the granddaddy neocons, and then I guess prior to them would have been the Dulleses and so on, but C.D. Jackson and those guys, but and of course Henry Jackson too. He was the senator that most of his proteges ended up becoming people like Wolfowitz and Pearl, Louis Libby. That's with
Well,
Andrei Strauss
we've
as well.
got about 20 minutes left to discuss some things. So I would like to refocus. Not that I don't want to run on these paths with you. Believe me, I'm enjoying the hell out of this discussion. You are giving me the biggest smile I've had in days, because a lot of these things do not get discussed enough. And if you don't learn from history, you are doomed to repeat it. We are repeating it over and over again. But let's refocus on your plans for this year. Let's refocus on that. And I'd like to throw the ball to Ariana. Is there anything you would like Ryan to lead back to that portion of the discussion with?
Wow. Well, you guys have been talking about a lot of stuff it's over my head. I mean, I listen to every single word, and I get, some of it I'm knowledgeable about, and some of the names, but some I wasn't. But I think it's absolutely fantastic because, as you were saying, Ryan, this cabal, this neocons, they're the same group of people.
Right.
And these are the same group of people that did 9/11.
And it's not a secret. I want to point out this isn't the Bohemian Grove or the New World Order or some nefarious invisible clan or
Skull and
something.
Bones.
Yeah, well, Skull and Bones is a real fraternity, but sort of, I mean,
Right,
they're,
or
look,
the
it's not
Council
a secret
for
society. It's
Relations.
AIPAC. They openly do it right in your face
Yes.
without a secret. I mean, the only time that Bilderberg gets its way is when its way happens to overlap with what AIPAC wants anyway. AIPAC is the largest lobby, and they get everything they want. And we never would have gone to war in Iraq. We wouldn't have sanctions on Iran. We wouldn't be involved in Syria. And we wouldn't be reinvading Iraq if it wasn't for this group of military industrial complex goons and the state of Israel. Israel's the gift that keeps on giving because it's run by a bunch of religious fanatics. They build racial colonies. They literally bulldoze down people's homes and build homes only for their specific race of people. It is worse than an apartheid, but that kind of behavior generates conflicts, and conflicts, perpetual conflicts, perpetual profit. That's what they want. And people have to realize that these people have names. They've been caught. They were caught in Iran-Contra, and they just got pardoned. I mean, nothing happened. And you can get into financial institutions too, but it's too much. If people want to know the when and where and who and why of 9/11, just watch War by Deception. It's free. But as for what we can do about it, I think the most concrete step we can have, more than just sharing information, is to get to DC and to lobby to get this bill 428 passed to push and pressure the president to declassify the 28 for everyone so the public can see what happened. And when the public realizes that foreign governments were involved in 9/11, I guarantee we're not going to be sending them money anymore.
Well, do you think, all right, let's take this just a little bit deeper. Do you think we I've constantly heard from a lot of people, including yourself, not that you're limited to this, but that this was done by foreign governments. We have
Well, in collusion
elitists,
with our government, of
right?
course.
We have elitists of who have an immense amount of wealth, who made billions of dollars off of stock trades prior to, who made billions of dollars off of insurance payments after the fact, who just happened not to be there when things happen, when they're constant for many, many months, even years prior to that, they were in the same place every morning eating breakfast. I mean,
The
we
put
have
options
so,
placed on the airlines.
that's right, so much that so many red flags going up that we should all be seeing red. But
Well,
yet,
Odigo warned certain Israelis who were working in the towers not to go to work, and they came forward. They were not part of it. At least two people, two individuals, who knows how many got the message, but they came and reported, hey, we were warned to get out before the planes hit. I don't think Al Qaeda sent these two Jewish boys messages. I don't think I was from Osama bin Laden doing that.
oh, that's, I'm sorry, but that's, there's a little satire in that, I would say.
Yeah. But they were honest. They said, look, somebody warned us to get out. Maybe somebody who knew them or whatever, or maybe they had the same name as someone else who knows, but because it was all blown up afterward. But they came forward with that. And Odigo is owned by Hollinger Incorporated, which the board of directors for Hollinger is Henry Kissinger, Richard Perle, and James R. Thompson, who was George Bush's lawyer, by the way, with Fred Felding. Now, Thompson was on the 9/11 commission, by the way.
How much more blatant can you be than watching a news show where the news commentator is saying, and Building 7 has also collapsed, and right behind him on the big screen is Building 7
Yeah.
standing proud and
It,
tall?
you know, BBC is famous for that, but that was also happened on Fox. So
Yes,
two
it
different
did.
news shows reported the building had fallen while the building's
Right.
still there in the background. And then, oh, look, the feed went away right when it starts to fall, so they don't have to explain it.
Okay. All right.
Flight 93 was supposed to return. They always say it was going to hit the Capitol. There's this pointless target to hit the Capitol. They needed to hit Building 7 because it was housing the offices tracking the money. They had already hit the financial wing of the Pentagon, and they needed to physically blow up where the Security Exchange Commission and other offices were in that building. And so it did go down. And
Isn't it just a little bit amazing that just prior to an investigation of billions upon billions of dollars is
trillions.
Yeah, actually it was. It was what, 3 trillion?
2.3.
Yeah. So just prior to the release of any information from that investigation, that is the exact point in the Pentagon. And some of the other offices that had been, let's say, they didn't want to see go away, had been moved prior to the attack.
Yeah. And the CFO was on one of the airplanes. Brian Jack was physically annihilated, as were the computers and buildings. I mean, I've explained all of this in my film. I'm really focused on going on the offense now, and we've never had a more concrete act that we could take than getting this report declassified. This is just a step. I have a plan after this, but the way I do things is I just focus on, doesn't matter what step two is until you do step one. We have got to get this declassified, and or at least read. If we get in it, this is doable. We're getting more and more co-sponsors just from the pressure we've already put on them. And I've already gotten a trip financed. I'm trying to get the days extended because I want to cover the anti-APAC conference, which is going to eat up a day of lobbying. And I think I can raise that on Indiegogo. But
Well,
once we're there, we're going to film the whole thing and the whole process because a lot of people don't know how to do that. It's not like they teach you in public school. And so it's not only that we're going to lobby, we're going to film the process and teach people.
And I'm sorry, guys, that's it for the free preview. You can go to the VIP section if you become a member for $5 a month and check out the full podcast. We got another 40 minutes or so in this one. It gets better and better. More on JFK, more on 9/11, and more on the direct actions that need to be taken, including the trip to DC. You can also wait for it to air on Liberty Beacon and catch the show free anyway. So that's why I'm okay doing it this way. But please do consider getting a membership because that is what allows me to make the documentaries and go on the trips and do everything that we are outlining in this talk. Thank you very much for listening. Do encourage your friends to get a membership to ANC, and also downloads will be available shortly. My webmaster is having a hard time. His computer crashed. It's been an issue, but it's going to be fixed this week. We're on it. This is how we go. We don't get the millions of dollars that the mass media gets. We got to often pay out of pocket and work other jobs and do this on the side. But this is coming to fruition. I'm going to make this full time, onwards and upwards. And we are going to get those 28 pages at minimal read, hopefully declassified. Peace.